Well, praise the Lord. I'm going to share a message with you tonight. Do you see what I see? No, it's not really a Christmas message. It's Jesus asking, do you see what I see? Most sincere believers want to be true followers of Jesus, and they want to be more like him. For us to do that, we need to see what he sees. Sweetheart, would you go get me the other glasses, please? That's right. They're on the desk. Do you have keys? I don't want anybody to see me throw stuff at you. I'm not going to do that. I did that before. It's bad. She can't catch. But she sure is pretty. Okay. Do you see what Jesus sees? The disciples asked Jesus why he spoke to the people in parables. And contrary to what a lot of preachers and teachers say today, we're just going to read his response. We're going to go to Matthew 13, 11 through 16. And here's what Jesus says about speaking to the people in parables. He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him will more be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. We're going to get to that prophecy in just a moment. But I just want you to see this here, that he says, he that has, to him will more be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. And you know what most people think? Well, that's not fair. Right? But we're going to see, Jesus is going to continue to explain here, but I just want you to understand that a lot of the time, people get the wrong idea about the parables. You see, a lot of times people say, oh, well, Jesus was telling parables to illustrate, but no, not always. In fact, a lot of the time when he finished the parable, he later explained it to the disciples, and I just want you to understand that there's a reason that he spoke to them this way, and here it comes. He says, hearing you will hear. This is the prophecy from Isaiah, and he says this is fulfilled about these people. He says, hearing you will hear, and you shall not understand. Seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. Now, when it's saying, lest I should, he's not saying, I don't want them to ever see. I don't want them to hear. No, he's explaining this is why they're in this condition. He's talking about these are the people who refuse to listen. They don't want to see. And they have rejected the truth and hardened their heart. Their hearts are dull. They don't hear because they've hardened their heart. And then he says to them in verse 16, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. You see, there are people, in fact, this is true in pretty much every service at church. There are people that hear the same thing, and some people hear, they see, they get it, they understand with their heart, and there are other people, they don't hear it, they don't see it, and they don't understand it. And we need to understand that this is the condition of our heart, and it's accumulative, and it's progressive. You see, when you accept truth, when you embrace it, and you're willing to hear it, you're willing to allow it in your heart, guess what? God will reveal more to you. But when you reject truth and you don't hear it, you refuse to see, then even what you have will be taken away. Now that's what Jesus says. Oh, don't go there. Don't think, well, that's not fair. Don't you ever judge God. I can assure you, he's always more than fair. This is what I know about my life. I'm so glad that he's not fair with me. He is merciful to me. He's way better than just fair. He's every bit fair and a whole lot more. So we need to realize, listen, the reason these people, the reason people today are in a place spiritually where they can't see, they can't hear, it is because they have chosen not to see. And I can tell you this, that I talk to people frequently and I can share scripture with them and they just, I can tell, they just totally reject what I said. Can't help them. Can we see like Jesus sees? I believe we can learn to. I believe we can learn to have our eyes, our spiritual eyes opened so that we get it. There's this key issue. It's not that Jesus doesn't want them to see. It's that they've chosen their blindness. They've chosen not to hear. They've chosen to harden their heart. Jesus tells the disciples that they see and they hear, but you know that the disciples didn't see everything. They didn't understand everything. There were plenty of things that they didn't get. You know, just like Jesus spoke to them about his death and resurrection a number of times, and the scripture says they didn't understand. They didn't really get what he was talking about until it happened. But that's true with many believers today. You know, when you're born again, listen, if you're born again, then there's obviously some things that you saw and you heard and you understood. But just because we got born again doesn't mean we get it all. No, the Apostle Paul prayed for the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 1 that the eyes of their understanding of their hearts would be open, enlightened. And you know what? We need to pray that for ourselves sometime, that the Holy Spirit would give us that understanding. He's the one that can give you the understanding, but you got to be willing to hear. You got to be willing to see. And when we go to the Word of God, that needs to always be the way it is. I want to say this very clearly now. We need to not just be open to every weird doctrine that comes along. Just because somebody quotes one little phrase from Scripture doesn't make it truth. I hear people doing this all the time. You know my favorite example? He makes me lie. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie. Okay, I'll say the whole thing. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie. Listen, that's a whole lot more words than I hear people basing whole sermons on and preach. I'm just telling you, you got to be careful that you don't just listen to and hear every voice and everything in this world. No, you need to be sure that it's the whole counsel of the Word of God. Because you know the rest of that one, right? He makes me lie down in green pastures. It's not just he makes me lie. He makes me lie down in green pastures. But I tell you, people pull things out of context all the time from the Word of God. And what I'm saying to you is we need to have a heart that's open and receptive, but we also need to realize that in this world, you can't listen to every voice. I'm going to come back to that in a minute, but I want to read to you Matthew 6, 22 and 23. It says, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" Now you'll notice here he's not talking about eyes. You know, hey, if you got bad eyes, you know, preacher's got to have some readers. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about if your eye is bad. He's talking about the way that you see things, the way that you look at things. He's talking about a matter of perspective. If you have a negative perspective, if you see things in a carnal way instead of seeing things the way he sees things, listen, you end up with your whole life, he says, full of darkness. He says, how great is that darkness? See, if you see things with doubt and unbelief, just always looking at things in the natural. If you see things with a negative attitude, always critical, judgmental, I want to tell you, your life is going to be full of darkness. You know, another way to say it is, you got to get rid of your stinking thinking. If you keep on thinking what you always thought, you're going to keep on getting what you always got. That's a matter of attitude. See, if you got a negative attitude, you see things in a negative way, you're always going to end up with junk in your life. And I always say that you show me somebody with a messed up life, I'll show you somebody with messed up thinking. You see, but it's the outlook. It's the way they see life. I want to tell you tonight, we need to learn to see things the way Jesus sees them. And it doesn't happen overnight. It is a growing process. See, the disciples didn't get it all at first, and neither do we. But we can learn and we can grow as we follow Jesus. We ought to be learning to be more like him. And part of that is we got to learn to see things the way he sees things. I love that book, In His Steps, and the phrase that became so popular. It became so popular, it seemed like it kind of lost its punch. But what would Jesus do? And you know, that is so powerful. But to really do what Jesus would do, you need to learn to see the way Jesus sees, as he looks at things differently than most people. We got to learn to see the way he does. Perspective. Just for fun, but to make the point. A shoe salesman goes to this remote area where there's nothing but a bunch of hillbillies that live there. He calls the corporate office and he says, "I can't sell shoes here. Nobody here wears shoes." He goes home. A little while later, they send another guy to the same place. He calls the corporate office. He says, "This is great. Everybody here needs shoes." It's a matter of perspective. And I want you to understand, the only thing I'm saying about, listen, that's not a real spiritual illustration, all right? But I just want you to get the point that how you look at things has everything to do with where you're going in life and what's happening in life and what you accomplish and how God uses you. And so we need to understand that how we look at things, this is so important. We need to learn to see things the way Jesus sees things. You know, perspective. Happy people aren't people with perfect lives. Anybody got a perfect life? No, they're people that are focused on the positives, and that makes them happy with life. Unhappy people are usually focused on the things that are wrong. So you got to see how important this is. But if you want to follow Jesus, you got to learn to see things the way he sees things. What would Jesus do? Great question. How would Jesus view this? See, how does Jesus view this person? How does Jesus see my family, my friend? How does Jesus see my enemy? How does Jesus see my life right now? Oh, this is some deep stuff. I'm telling you, you start thinking about, I wonder how Jesus really sees my life and what's going on with me. Most people think that it's just in the cards that have been dealt to them in life that determines whether or not they're successful, whether or not their life is good. So we're going to take a second look at Matthew 6, 22 and 23. Here's what Jesus says about that. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Oh, no. We think it's all about, you know, being lucky and things going our way. Oh, no. It all has to do with the way you see. And we need to learn to see the way Jesus does. If we do, our life will be full of light. How can you know how Jesus would see things? Well, one way we can know how Jesus sees things is through the lens of the Word of God. It gives us so much of how he looks at things. You want to know the Lord's opinion on something? Go to the Word. Amen. There's so much in here. We'll just talk about a few things tonight, but Let me give you from the scripture, Psalm 119 and verse 130. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Understanding to the simple. Let me just say that real straight. Even dumb people can get it. In fact, the truth is some dumb people really get it, and some really, really smart people just don't get it. But the entrance of His Word, the Word of God, will give you light. It will, see, we're talking about our eye being full of light. It will give you that understanding. It says, gives understanding to the simple. Here's an example from Jesus. Matthew 19, 26, Jesus says, with God all things are possible. Jesus looked at every situation and circumstance in this light. With God all things are possible. No matter what it was, with God all things are possible. Now those are some rose-colored lenses. Not exactly. Those are some faith-colored lenses. Everything. With God all things are possible. These are the words of Jesus. He also said, Mark 9, 23, all things are possible to him who believes. See, we need to look at life this way. This is the way Jesus saw it. This is what the Word tells us. All things are possible to him who believes. He saw circumstances, situations as temporal, temporary, subject to change. He looked at battles that maybe seemed to already be lost. He saw them as a victory in the making. What if we could see things the way Jesus sees them? So many struggles and battles and all the time and all around us. What if we could just begin to see them as Jesus saw them? Just a victory in the making. See with eyes of faith. That's what he did. We're going to go to John chapter 9. And we're going to read 1 through 7. And I'm going to try to go fast tonight because I have quite a few scriptures I want to give you tonight. It says, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned. I just got to teach a little bit along the way. I just can't resist. Jesus just said, this man nor his parents sinned. I hope that nobody thinks that these people were sinless. That is exactly the kind of goofy Bible interpretation that a lot of people are doing in our culture right now. It's crazy. That is not at all what he was saying. He was saying this sin didn't happen, or this illness, this blindness didn't happen as a result of any sin. Okay, moving on. I'm telling you, the goofy doctrine that's being taught in this hour, I'm not going to apologize. This needs to be said again and again and again. I'm telling you, you need to read your Bible. A lot of Christians are being deceived, and it's messing up their life because they don't know what the Scripture says. You've got to know the Bible. You can't just let somebody, not me, don't let anybody just tell you what it says. You read it for yourself. You search the Scriptures. You find out, what does the Bible really say? Amen. Don't tell me, well, brother so-and-so said. No, you need to know what the Scripture says. This lazy Christianity that I'm not going to read the Bible, I don't understand it anyway, you tell me. No, you dig into the Word of God. It will give light and understanding to you. It will speak truth to you. Oh, how we need that. Amen. Neither this man nor his parents sin, but the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it's day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in this world, I'm the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground, made clay with saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. See, Jesus had a different perspective on people. He saw them differently than most people. The disciples, just like most people. Here's a guy, he was blind, but let's just put it in broader terms. He had a serious problem. Most people see someone with a serious problem, and they think, well, I wonder what they did. I wonder how they messed up. You know, they might be that way because the parents messed them up. There's a big one. There's a popular one. But whatever it is, whoever did it, however it happened, most of the time people see somebody with a serious problem, they think, well, somebody's to blame. But Jesus says, you know what? That's not what this is about. No, this happened for the glory of God. This happened for the works of God to be manifested. And then he heals the man. See, Jesus, he saw this as a temporary situation. His focus was not on the problem and, well, why did this happen? This is so much a part of our culture. Looking for somebody to blame for everything. Why did this happen? Well, it's their fault. No, it's their fault. Everybody wants to argue about it. You know what? How about if we believe God to fix it instead of just looking for the root of it? It's like Job's friends. Job going through this horrible thing in his life and unimaginable. And he's got these three so-called friends who keep trying to tell him, well, Job, this has to be your fault. You did something wrong, Job. And when it was all over, God was glorified in his servant Job, who trusted him through it all, and God blessed him with twice over what he had before, and he told the three friends, you go have my servant Job pray for you because you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job had. See, these guys missed it all together. But they were pointing the finger, and this is so much a part of the culture we live in today, is pointing the finger. Anytime there's a problem, pointing the finger. Instead, we should be trusting and believing God. Amen. But Jesus saw that blindness as temporary. We need to learn to see problems as temporary. He saw the answer. He wasn't focused on the problem. A man named Jairus comes to Jesus with a request, please come and heal my daughter who is sick. Mark 5:35, we're going to pick it up there. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house and said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. And he permitted no one to follow except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and he saw tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. And when he came in, he said to them, why this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him, and he entered where the child was lying, and he took the child by the hand, and he said to her, Talitha kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. And immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that something should be given her to eat. Now, first of all, I want you to notice that Jesus didn't allow anybody else to follow except for these few. And when he got there, he put everybody else out except for the father and mother and those that were with him. Why? Because they didn't see right. Jesus said, the child is not dead, but sleeping. This is how he saw death. Just sleeping. I'm going to wake her up. Okay. We need to learn to see things differently. He saw death as temporary. He saw this a victory. You know, this is the same thing he says to the disciples when his friend Lazarus has died. I'm going to jump over there. John chapter 11, beginning from verse 11. Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he was speaking about taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes. Man, how can you talk like that? He says, I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. And then he goes and he raises him from the dead. But he told the disciples, he said, hey, Lazarus is asleep. And he knows he's dead, but he knows that it's temporary. This is the way that Paul tells us to view death. Amen. Brother Josh, you read it yesterday. Amen. At a celebration of life. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren. It's 1 Thessalonians 4:13 and 14. Concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Our loved ones who know the Lord have passed from this life to us. They're asleep in Jesus. Amen. Jesus saw everything through this filter of faith. He saw people differently. He looked past the outward appearance. He looked past the sin. How about the woman caught in adultery? The Pharisees bring this woman and they throw her in front of Jesus. They see her as somebody who should be condemned. But more than that, they saw her as a pawn that they would sacrifice in trying to trap Jesus. That's really what was going on here. They saw her as someone that could just be thrown away in order to achieve their agenda. Jesus writes in the dirt, and then he turns all of the focus off of the woman and onto the men. And he says to them, let he who is without sin be the first to cast a stone. Some of you are thinking I didn't quote that right. Yes, I did. Just because people learned it wrong doesn't make it right. Let him who's without sin be the first to cast a stone. Doesn't say cast the first stone. It says be the first to cast a stone. Some of you are thinking way too hard on that. That's what it says. But it's funny how people look at sin differently when it's themselves, parents, or their child. Everybody wants mercy for their kid, but when you're their family, their loved one, their friend, but when you're talking about somebody else, right's right. Jesus says, where are your accusers? She says, they all left. And he says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. But Jesus doesn't just see people as they are. He sees what people can be. So often we get caught up in being judgmental, being critical of other people. And I want to tell you, Jesus didn't look that way at people. He wasn't trying to find fault with people. And when we do that, most often it is born out of pride. In fact, if you catch yourself being real critical of someone, judging someone, saying ugly things about someone, most often, if you'll look at your own heart, you'll see that pride is taking root. But Jesus saw people differently. When he saw people that had problems and weaknesses in their life, he saw what they could be. How about Simon Peter? Now, when Jesus met him, he just had one name, Simon. That's his name. It means reed. But he calls him Peter. It means rock. Don't you know that impacted that man? He said, I was a rock. It took a while before he became that rock. In fact, there were still some times later where Jesus referred to him as Simon. Simon, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. But he did become that rock. I just want you to know, though, Jesus saw people differently. He saw what they could become. When our eyes are full of darkness, we condemn. We lock people in to who and what they are. We think they'll never change. Now, I want to clarify what I'm talking about right now, because there have been way too many people that married somebody thinking they're going to change. Now, if you married the right one and you know it, say amen. Amen. Everybody should be saying amen right now. Just saying. But we need to hear this. I want to say this so the enemy doesn't get an advantage of anyone. When a single person is interested in somebody who's not the kind of person they should be dating, much less marrying, they need to not be deceived with that old trick that, oh, well, I'm going to change them. I'm going to change them. Listen, if you want to change them, then you pray and you trust God to change them before you marry them. You don't change somebody by marrying them. They'll resent it. Spouses and significant others, I'm telling you, they always resent it when you demand or expect them to change. Here's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? So you want them to change? Well, you believe God for them to change first. Moving on. How about the woman at the well? Woman of Samaria, she comes to draw water. Jesus says, give me drink. She says, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. I'm at John chapter 4, verse 10 now. Jesus answered her and said, if you knew the gift of God, who it is that says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked, and he would have given you living water. And the woman says, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and livestock? And Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Now, how do you think the disciples viewed this woman when they show up? First of all, she's a woman. She's a Samaritan. Jesus shouldn't even be talking to her. But they had seen Jesus do lots of weird stuff. I mean, they probably weren't that surprised. But Jesus goes on to say to this woman, you've had five husbands and the man you're now with is not your husband. Now, what do you think the disciples would have thought if they had known that? They would have seen in big red flashing letters, trouble, 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 run, Jesus, run. But Jesus saw in this woman a thirst for God. She saw something that nothing in this, he saw something in her that nothing in this world could satisfy. She was going through all these relationships because of this desire, this hunger in her soul. And Jesus is offering her living water, the only thing that would truly satisfy. I'm just saying that Jesus looks at this woman who most people would have run from, and he realizes that there's a deeper need there. What if we could see like Jesus sees? What if we could look past the weakness? What if we could look past that obvious sin in somebody's life and see the deeper need? I tell you, we could minister to people like Jesus did if we could see like Jesus sees. In Matthew 9:35-36, it says, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness, every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved. He saw them. He saw them differently than we do. Right. Over 30 years ago, I heard a preacher talk about this passage. And he was talking about how Jesus saw him differently. I was a youth pastor, had had some success, but I was kind of burnt out. And the Lord really spoke to me through this passage and through that man that day. He said, you know, these rebellious teenagers, they come in, these troublemakers. But you know what? Jesus sees past all that. And I began to see past that. I saw them as sheep without a shepherd. You know, sometimes we see these kids that are so messed up, we need to have compassion for them. They're messed up. They need Jesus. They need somebody to show them what it is to really know the Lord, what it is to really find real life. He was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. He looks at people the world would call losers, and he has compassion on them. He sees them differently. We need to see people with eyes of mercy and compassion, see the need, see the potential in people. You know, when God chose David to be anointed as king, he said this, the Lord said to Samuel in 1 Samuel 16:7, do not look at his appearance or his physical stature, because I've refused him. For the Lord does not see as a man sees, for the Lord looks at the outward appearance, man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So he rejected all of David's brothers because he said it doesn't matter how much they looked apart. And I'm telling you, I hear a lot of people saying, oh, it doesn't matter how it looks, it doesn't matter what they look like. Well, now, I want to say something about that. See, the Lord looks at the heart, and we need to learn to see like he does. 100%. I agree with that. We need to learn to see like he does. But I'm going to tell you why outward appearance does matter. Because man looks at the outward appearance. Listen, the only people that really are able to look at the heart are people that are really in tune with God. Everybody else is looking at the outward appearance. And so the outward appearance matters some, because I can tell you that's all they can see. Okay. I'm just going to let that sit there, because I know some of you are having a hard time with that. But most of us, we deal with that every day in our life. People look at the outside. That being said, yes, we need to learn to look past the outside and see the heart. The Lord looks at the heart. This is the way he sees. And so we need to learn to see that way. Look past the rebellion to the hurt. The person maybe has been disappointed, doesn't trust authority. Jesus saw past the outside. You know, that's one reason he was so hard on the Pharisees. They looked so good on the outside, but he says, you're full of dead men's bones. Now, you know, the Pharisees, the religious people, were the only ones that Jesus was ever what we might consider to be harsh with. And I'm going to tell you why he did it. Because that was the only hope, that was the only way that he was going to reach them. Those that were such hypocrites, that he called hypocrites, they were not going to hear unless he spoke to them plainly and boldly. And there were some that he won. How do we see ourselves? Jesus saw himself as a servant. He said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. Do we see ourselves as a servant? He saw himself as a man with a mission. I mean, even at 12 years old, he said, didn't you know I had to be about my father's business? And throughout his life, throughout his ministry, he said things like, the Father sent me. And I, you know, He saw himself as a workman. We read it Sunday, but John 4:34, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. John 17:4, I glorified you on earth. I finished the work which you've given me to do. He saw himself as anointed, empowered for ministry. Luke 4:18-19, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. How do you see yourself? See yourself with eyes of faith. See yourself beyond the temporal. See the potential of what God can do in your life. With God, all things are possible. See yourself as somebody who's been sent. As the Father sent Jesus, Jesus sends you. John 20:21. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. You've been sent. If you're a born-again Christian, nobody, did Jesus say, well, your job is to sit home and watch TV and surf the net. No. We've all been sent. There's somebody that we can have influence, somebody that we can touch, somebody that we can have an impact on. However that happens, we need to know, we need to see ourselves that way. That God has a purpose for my life. I've been sent to a lost and hurting world. There are going to be some people that you can't help. There were people that Jesus couldn't help. They refused it. Like the rich young ruler. Jesus looked at him. See, he saw this rich young ruler. And the Bible says he looked at him and he loved him. And he told him to go sell what he had, give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. And come follow me. But he went away sad. And there are people that you can't help. But there are also people that are waiting for you. You need to realize, you need to see yourself that way. Yes, even you. If God only used perfect people, then Jesus would have been the only one. No, you need to see yourself as somebody that is the answer to somebody else's prayer. Wow. See yourself as anointed, and however God would use you, that you're anointed to do that. Not everybody's anointed to sing. Not everybody's anointed to preach. But I tell you, one way or another, God would use every single one of us. Sometimes we just need to have our vision corrected. We need God to open our eyes. We need to learn to be prayerful about every situation, dealing with every person that we're saying, Lord, how do you see this? Lord, what needs to happen here? We need our eyes opened to the plan of God. His will is always best. We need to see our own lives with eyes of faith. I want to close with this story from 2 Kings. I know it's familiar to many of you, but it's where the king of Syria wants to get Elisha, the prophet, so he sends an army to get him. How would you feel? I mean, here you are, serving God, you know, trying to help people, preaching the word of God, proclaiming God's word, and they send an army to get you. I'm going to read from 2 Kings 6, 14 through 17. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. See, you see your battle and you think, this is terrible. How am I gonna win? There's no way that the victory can come out of this. You need to realize that the army of the Lord is all around. You need to realize that God has angels that encamp around about those who fear him. You got a mean boss? They're no match for the Lord's angels. A mean teacher? They're no match. I'll tell you, I've seen this with both of my kids. A mean boss, and they're gone. A mean teacher, and they're fired. Am I telling the truth? Is somebody doing wrong? I'm going to tell you, they're no match for God. It doesn't matter what the odds are. It doesn't matter who they are. I'm telling you, our God is the one who rules and reigns. We need our eyes open to see. Oh, if we could just see the way he sees. It changes. Our whole life would be full of light. All that old darkness, all that sadness, all that anxiety, it'd be gone. See, all that darkness, it's got to go. When you see things the way he sees things, it's life-changing. So I hope that tonight will stir you to begin to try every day to see things. Don't just look at things in the natural. Don't just look at things the same old way, but begin to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Ask God to show you, how do you see this? How do you see this situation? How do you see this person? You know, Elisha prayed for his servant. He said, "Lord, open his eyes." We need to pray that for one another sometimes. Somebody's heading the wrong direction, doing wrong, pray the Lord will open their eyes. But you know what? I believe we can pray that for ourselves too. Lord, open my eyes. Help me to see things right here. And just desire that and seek that in our life, that we would truly be able to see things God's way instead of just seeing things in the natural and operating in this world by the flesh. So much of the time we end up just kind of living like everybody else. We should never. You know, we walk in the Spirit, listening to our Father, seeing what he sees instead of just looking in the natural. What a way to live. None of us has arrived, but man, we ought to just keep growing. Stand with me. I'm going to pray over you.